Welcome to episode 1 of Massive Match Day. We are presented by Old North Arcade, located at 2591 North High Street in Columbus, Ohio. Check them out at online at oldnortharcade.com. They are an arcade, they are a bar, and they're pretty darn awesome. Local craft beer, cocktails, classic arcade, and console gaming, and a great place to go after a Crew SC match. This is Massive Match Day. My name is Matt Goshard. I am your host. I am joined by Patrick Murphy and by Chris Landis. We're going to be going over everything that you need to know prior to the Crew SC Portland Timbers matchup. I'm going to start with you, Patrick. Crew SC, Portland Timbers, first game of the season. Bullet points, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the first thing is you just want to see how this team does. Obviously, it's the rematch of MLS Cup last year, and you want to see, you know, how they come out. You know, are they looking for, you know, revenge, or, you know, are they able to handle the emotions and just kind of take care of business as the start to a regular season game?
Chris?
I think what's going to be important to remember is that even though it's obviously the rematch of the MLS Cup and it was a huge crushing loss for the team and for the fan base, we don't want to read too much into this first match because it is just a first match. You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourselves going, oh, such and such didn't start, or oh, they didn't go with the two-striker formation even though we brought in a new striker. A win isn't winning the cup. A loss doesn't mean we're going to lose the cup again. It is the first match. There's going to be rust. There's going to be, you know, some awkwardness, and the Crew fans tend to overreact, and we definitely don't want to do that here because this is a team that's bringing back just about all the pieces and should be better this year for it. So don't overreact if this doesn't go well.
Kai Kamara signed to the second designated player for Crew SC. Chris, how important is that to the team not to have that hanging over that question of contract disputes hanging over their heads before the first match?
It's huge because Kai is obviously the focal point of the offense. He bagged an insane amount of goals last year. Now with this giant contract, the expectation is going to be close to that again, for better or for worse. So not having the questions of his mindset going in, you know, there was the talk that, oh, he said he was going to retire if they won the cup. Now knowing that he's locked up and committed, there should be a relaxation level, but that worry shouldn't be there, and hopefully it means it'll affect the team in a positive way on the field instead of potentially a negative way if it was still hanging there.
Patrick?
Yeah, and it's just nice to have it done. I mean, for a guy that's been, you know, so much to this team, not just last year, but the first time he was with the club, you know, he's contributed, he loves the town of Columbus, he's set up his family here, now he's, you know, secure, and, you know, he wants to be here, and that's a big thing for a guy going into, you know, the latter stages of his career. I mean, like Chris said, retirement was certainly on his mind, and, you know, he's 31 years old this year, so that's something he's got to think about is his post-career, and, you know, you don't want him to get too far ahead because you want him to be focused on the games and whatnot, but you know, to have him relaxed and good to go is only going to be beneficial for the team.
Chris, he goes into a very hostile Portland, a very celebratory Portland as well, as they'll be celebrating their MLS Cup victory. Patrick, are your keys to this game? What does Chris need to do first?
I think, you know, like any time you go into a crazy atmosphere like that, you've got to ride that first, you know, 10, 15 minutes. They're going to be loud. They're going to be excited. Like you said, they're going to be celebrating that championship. Most of their guys are back. So it's about, you know, keeping the emotions in check at the beginning of the game, which Portland's going to have to do also. But, you know, as the road team, you know, not overdoing things, like Chris said earlier. You need to just kind of keep the emotions in check, get through those first few minutes, and you know, handle business with the rest of the game.
Chris?
Yeah, it's really – you don't want to hear this because the Crew love to play an attacking brand of football, but taking the sting out of the game in the first 10, 15 minutes, you know, the Cup game started off so horribly, and you know that's going to be in the back of mind of the back line in particular, and Steve Clark in particular. So really getting your foot on the ball, taking the sting out of the game, letting the crowd kind of deflate a little as much as that crowd is able to deflate, and trying to keep possession of the ball and not any risky back passes, and really just take the emotion out of the game, but also kind of take the speed out of the game, at least at first, because you don't want to end up down in the first couple minutes again.
To add to that, with you talking about the back line, this week at practice, Steve Clark was working on passing the ball out of the back and dribbling through the box, which I thought was interesting heading into this match after the way the game opened, as you mentioned. Not something that I've noticed him doing before, but also not something I paid attention to. So maybe he does it every week, but you know, a fun little tidbit there.
That's the one that actually fed into the next question I was going to ask you. You did get a chance to go to practice this week. What is the vibe of the team? What do you see?
I think they're in a good spot. You know, they're saying all the right things, and you know, they look ready to go. It was kind of a rough week with the cold coming in, and you know, they did get a chance to practice on turf at Ohio Dominican, which you know is a little bit advantageous going out to Portland. I think that you know they're in a good spot. They know you know the team, the core group is back, so you know they know the guys. They're not worried about fitting in too many new players into this game and whatnot. And you know, while they say it's not a revenge game, and I don't think they're looking at that way. They did admit there's some motivation there, you know, not only because it's Portland, but it's the defending champions. You know, if it were, you know, Chicago or Seattle or LA, it would be the same thing to open the season against, you know, the best team in the league last year.
Looking at some of the intangibles, the largest Noron tour ever in the Pacific time zone, not for a championship. That obviously has got to at least be in the mind of the players. Chris, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think it's great that supposedly, I don't have an official head count, but I heard upwards 80 people are making it out to Portland for this, and it was not an organized trip. It was everyone just going on their own. You know, there was a ticket link set up for away supporters, but it wasn't a bus trip or a plane combo or anything offered. It was just crew fans all on their own deciding to get there. And I think the team, you know, if they find themselves in a disadvantageous situation, having that support there will definitely be a lift. You know, I've heard conflicted things how much they actually hear or see, but standing out in the crowd of green, you know, some black and gold, obviously is going to give them a little boost, I think.
Yeah, and Ethan Finley said this week that, you know, when they're at away games and they can look up and see, you know, that black and gold, you know, section or blob of fans, you know, it does give the team a lift. And he specifically pointed to, you know, if you can steal 3 points on the road and you get to go over and celebrate in front of your fans, you know, it stands out to me last year, the game at New York City FC when there were a ton of Caressi supporters. So I think it's great. And, you know, I think it says a lot about where this team is that, you know, they're getting supporters to travel that far. We've seen it from other teams coming into Mapfre Stadium and, you know, to kind of send that back out, you know, have people going, you know, all the way across the country for a game speaks volumes to what this team has done over the past few years in terms of the fan base.
I think it certainly helps as well that it's a season opener. Yeah. It certainly helps that it's an MLS Cup rematch. And it certainly helps that, I mean, not to take away from the match at all, but Portland is definitely a tourist town and definitely a young person, Gen X millennial tourist town. So
yeah.
That certainly helps as well. I've seen a lot of the photos from people over the last couple of days, and I am jealous of the Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, it would be nice if we all got to make that trip.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We need to talk to the Massapequa people about getting us out there.
I know. It's Patrick, Sam, I know you're listening. We need more in our expense budget. Last question to you guys. I know we on the either via the last podcast or via the website have done score predictions and that sort of stuff. But I do want to get how important it's the first game of the season. How important, scale of 1 to 5 would you say tomorrow's match is?
I think it's pretty important. I mean, Berhalter said this week that, you know, it's one match of 34, and it is, but you know, going out there, getting a result against the team that, you know, made you look bad, frankly, mm-hmm. in the last match you played that meant anything, you know, that would be a big boost to this team. And, you know, 3 points would be fantastic. A draw, I think, would still be a solid result. You know, they're, like we said, they're going to be riding emotions from the championship stuff. And I think you need to get something out of the game. You know, if they don't, it's certainly not the end of the world. You know, plenty of time to make up ground and whatnot. But, you know, Portland's never won an MLS match in the month of March. They need to make sure that stays that way.
On a scale of 1 to 5, I think it's about a 2. It's not the end of the world. This is a crew team that did not travel well at the start of last season. We didn't win a road game for how long last year?
I think it was July.
July.
Yeah, it was Chicago.
So even if we lose, you know, anything we get out of this game is a positive, is points stolen, basically. This is a game Portland will feel they should be winning. This is a game Crew SC will feel, if we can get anything out of it, great. That's why I said earlier, you don't want to get over the top if things don't go well. Obviously, if we get blown out 5-0 or something ridiculous like that, cause for concern. But a tightly contested 1-0, 2-1 sort of match, the Crew come out on the losing side, it's really not a big deal at all.
I guess I think ultimately what you'd like to see is them play well.
Yeah.
You know, if like Chris said, if they don't get the result, that's okay. But you know, you want to see the team, you know, do the things they did well last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Can they, you know, limit Portland's chances, not get caught on the counterattack, those type of things that cost them last year? You want to see improvement, you want to see building, and especially against a team that you know kind of took you to school.
That's true. That's very true. So the other thing that I want to talk about real quick before we get into the your around the league, a couple of different things. One of our sponsor, Old North Arcade, is actually an official sponsor this year of Yellow Nation Army. And I accidentally just logged into your Facebook, Chris. I apologize for that. Looking at that, one of the things. They should be doing some events at Old North Arcade, Yellow Nation Army, a group of great guys. So as guys and gals, if you are looking for somewhere to watch the game, one opportunity. Crew Union will be at 4th Street Bar and Grill, as per tradition. The Crew is doing a big event down at Land Grant Brewing Company. So I think, Chris, you're going to be out there,
at that one. There'll be a master report.
Where are you watching tomorrow, Patrick?
I'll probably be at 4th Street.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'm going to be at Hen Docks.
As per usual.
Yeah. As per tradition. Hudson Street Hooligan's going to be starting membership sales tomorrow as well for those interested in that. So a lot of stuff going on around the Crew. And the nice thing is, with the new TV deal, is pretty much any bar you go into or the comfort of your own home or Applebee's or wherever.
The waitresses know everything about the Crew at Applebee's.
That is true. But anywhere you go, you can kick on. You can ask them to kick on the Crew SC match.
And I think just to touch on that, you know, as big of a mistake as that deal was, you know, the last television deal, I think they've more than made up for it with, you know, they're still going to have that same good coverage that you get through the Time Warner Sports Channel or whatever it's called, but you also get, you know, these games on TV, and I think that's really important for this team as they continue to try and build on, you know, 80-some fans going out to Portland, you know, things like that is only going to help.
I think the television deal, and we had a good chance on the Monday's Massive Report to talk to Andy Lochman about that in detail, and it was a very shrewd business move by everybody in the Crew front office.
Absolutely.
And it was done very well. So, it's the biggest thing, you know, if you're interested in Crew evangelism, as you would say, is go somewhere weird and have them kick the game on and see who you can start talking to.
White Castle.
Does White Castle have TVs?
TV in the back, maybe.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It's the drive-through TV, the thing that has the... Yeah, no. All right, Chris, we're delving. We're going down rabbit holes on this one, which was not the goal.
No.
So, Chris, save us. It's around the league.
Yep, we're going around the league. Biggest news story of the week, Jermaine Jones was dealt to the Colorado Rapids for a 2017 first-round draft pick and general allocation money. His suspension from the end of last year will stand, however. This past week, all four MLS clubs crashed out in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. Drew 1-1 with Querétaro. I probably butchered that, but they lost 3-1 overall in aggregate. Santos Laguna waffle stomped the LA Galaxy 4-0. America beat Seattle 3-1 to win 5-3 on aggregate. And RSL drew 1-1 with Tigres, but lost 3-2 on aggregate. The schedule for this week is New York Red Bulls hosting TFC. Jose Altidore is questionable for that one. Orlando City will be hosting RSL. Bridgeview Fire will be taking on NYCFC in Bridgeview. Houston are hosting New England. San Jose have the Rapids. Dallas are hosting Philly. Vancouver are hosting Montreal. No Didier Drogba for Montreal in that one, as he's being sat out of any turf games early in the season. Seattle Sounders host Sporting Kansas City, and LA will be hosting DC. That's all this Sunday. And then next Friday, the first Friday match of the year, Orlando are hosting Bridgeview. A couple of Crew SC related around the world bits. Aaron Schoenfeld scored again for Maccabi Tel Aviv this week. He's been on fire since moving to the Israeli league. And Guillermo Barros Schelotto has been named head coach of his beloved Boca Juniors in Argentina.
Praise him.
Praise Lord Guillermo. So last thing I want to do, this is kind of a new thing for this. It's our first episode, so because last week's episode didn't count. It was a practice episode. But I do want to chat real quick about the other matches going on around the league. We'll just get quick score predictions. I didn't get a chance to watch much Champions League, so we won't talk a whole lot about that unless did any of you guys watch the Champions League
matches? I think we should not talk about it just because how poorly the MLS team
played. Yeah, no, that's...
The Galaxy got destroyed.
I watched...
It was... Ugly.
I watched that America versus Seattle game, and the drunk girl next to me at Hendox was just like, "How's Seattle playing America? I don't get it."
I had that same conversation with a very sober friend of mine. So,
but I do wanna go in and just kind of discuss the other matches. Red Bull versus TFC, two very powerful teams in the East. Chris, what do you think?
Red Bulls are at home, so they should feel like they should take the points here. Josie's questionable, as I alluded to. If he's out, that's got to be a big loss for TFC. Obviously, Giovinco will still be there, but New York should be able to handle that one at home.
Patrick?
Yeah, I think you had a TFC team that didn't quite do as well as they wanted with the money they spent, so it's big for them to get off on the right foot. New York obviously wants to build on the success of how they finished last year in terms of the regular season. So, an interesting game. Like Chris said, I think New York probably takes it at home, but it should be a fun one.
I'm thinking New York as well. Second match we'll talk about, Orlando RSL. Patrick?
I think all of these, last year's expansion teams want to come into this season and prove something. I think... the bar has been set pretty high for expansion teams recently, and neither of those teams really held up to it. Orlando at home is a tough team to beat, and it would be a tough task for Salt Lake. But I think Orlando has something to prove, I guess, in this one.
Chris?
Yeah, as much as it pains me to admit it, I think Orlando have improved in this offseason, and they'll be definitely pushing for a playoff spot, and they should be able to handle Salt Lake pretty handily.
I see this one ending in a draw. I think it's going to be a lot of feeling out. They've not had a lot of experience against each other, and I see, even with Orlando selling as well as they did, I think it is a sellout, or it's darn close, if not. I just don't see it being... I don't see it being a very entertaining game, quite honestly.
Unless they break their previous record of 4 yellows for simulation in one match.
That's a possibility. The Midway Airport versus New York City FC. What do you got?
I just don't know what to make of Chicago. Sorry, Chris, I called them Chicago. The Fire. I just don't, with the way they've played the last few years and so much changes, I hope to see Matt Lampson play well, I guess.
Eric Gehrig's
still there.
Oh, he's injured. He picked up a knock during preseason.
Is Lampson a starter?
He might be. I mean, there's not much else there.
Yeah, there's really...
And Lampson's a good player.
He's a very good player, if you don't have anybody around him who can help him, he's only one dude.
Just don't let him get scored on corners. Yeah. That's all I ask of New York City.
Chris?
I don't see this one being a very entertaining game to watch. This could be a very painful, don't show this to non-soccer fans sort of soccer game. I can see that one ending up 0-0 and not being fun to watch at all.
I'm actually looking to see what time that game starts. That game starts right when Hendox opens. I may actually, just because I am a fan of... just train wrecks. I may watch it. This game is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
It's gonna be really bad. I think New York City FC is gonna win.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Handily. They're not a good team, but they are leaps and bounds better than.
Is Villa back from his broken leg yet?
That's a good question.
I have no idea.
I probably should have researched that.
It's okay. You're the head researcher on this show. It's the first show. We'll give you a pass, Chris.
All right,
Houston, New England, Chris.
New England, probably going to take it. They looked decent enough for a preseason game in the last preseason game we played them in. They're bringing back a lot of the same players, so I think New England have enough to edge this one.
Cool.
I know nothing about either of these teams, aside from Jermaine Jones isn't on New England anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that preseason game, and I'll go with Chris. Let's go with New England.
Yeah, I'm going to say a 1-1 draw.
Sure.
Because why not? San Jose versus Colorado.
Speaking of Jermaine Jones,
He will not be playing.
He will not be playing, but at least he's there.
Yeah.
I think the Rapids are really trying to make a push this year.
Yeah.
That, you know, they've done some things, and you know, I don't know if it's going to work, but I think they lose at San Jose.
All right, Chris.
I didn't see anything from either of these teams in preseason, so I really don't know. But still no official word on the Howard to Rapids story that I mentioned last week.
Yeah.
But if they get that, if they get him, if he signs in the summer, and then they have Jermaine Jones, if they add in an attacking threat or two, they could be a surprise team to push for the playoffs.
They could, but they got to get to the summer first.
That's true.
Next one. I'm going to say San Jose wins that. Dallas and Philly.
Dallas. I mean, it's Philly. Come on.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
It's honestly, you just have to, you know, there's to get in the playoffs in the East, you just have to finish better than two teams because you know Philly and you know Chicago is going to be so far out of playoff contention by, like, June.
One of the Philadelphia beat writers I follow on Twitter, and I sort of interact with him, and I just feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, just covering that team right now is just, you know.
Is it Jonathan Tannenwald?
It is not.
Oh, okay.
But at least they have a nice stadium.
Cool, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
From what I hear, I've never been there. But.
It's, It's quintessentially Philly / Jersey, where it's just that bridge that they have in all the establishing shots. It's just there's like semis going over you the entire time when you're in the away section.
There's nothing wrong with semis at a soccer game.
I don't like semis above me. I don't know. All right. Dallas is going to make short work of Philly.
Yeah.
All right. One of the Canadian derbies, Vancouver v. Montreal.
No draw, but I think hurts Montreal. I mean, yeah. Obviously hurts Montreal, but I mean, I think, you know, you saw what a turnaround he made, you know, with them last year, and without him, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this works with him not playing the turf games and whatnot, and Vancouver at home, I'll go with Vancouver.
I think Montreal still have enough. They still have Piatti, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be enough. Vancouver at home, yeah, a little more difficult, but Vancouver weren't great. I think Montreal will still have enough because they kept most of that core of the team together as well, right?
Yeah.
So I see Montreal being able to take this one. It'll probably be close, one goal game, you know, 2-1.
Montreal was a good team even without Drogba, and they're just going to have to adapt their game plan. But Vancouver's really good too.
No more Dili Duca.
I know that does make
pump.
That does make me sad. That does make me sad. Sounders and Sporks, Chris.
Sounders are home, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sounders. Jordan Morris won't score, but Sounders will do enough.
I'm really interested to see. You mentioned Jordan Morris. How this all works. Obviously, Martins was an incredible player, and you know, can Morris fill in for a guy like that? I mean, obviously, he's not the same, but. You know, how does he work with Dempsey, which is a big deal for the national team going forward,
yeah.
and whatnot. I think Seattle's probably the better team in this and probably wins at home, but I think that's something to watch in the game and throughout the season, how those two play together up top.
I agree. Last one we got, L.A. versus D.C. in L.A.
That's an interesting one. L.A. did not look good in the CONCACAF Champions League. They got beat up, basically,
mm-hmm.
and they lost a couple of real good players in Omar Gonzalez, Juninho, and they brought in some questionable signings. You know, De Jong, okay, I guess he was at a time, but he's really just tackling at this point. And then
and not well.
And not well. Yeah, no, not well. The ninja kicks in the World Cup final, and then Ashley Cole, who. Called MLS retirement league. So really this is going to come down to how many goals can Giovanni Dos Santos and Robbie Keane score.
Yeah.
And DC also didn't do well in the Champions League, so I think at home LA probably have enough, but it'll be interesting to see what this LA Galaxy team comes out looking like. I think that's the big storyline for me out of this match.
Cool. Patrick?
Ashley Cole's right. LA is a retirement place, and he's there, and Gerard's there, and they're there to retire. I don't see a lot of success for the Galaxy this year unless they make, you know, some moves and get a little younger, but I think they win this game.
Yeah, I think they win this game as well. It's interesting to see that the writers are all, you know, talking about LA and talking about LA because LA is a good narrative, but I just don't see them performing.
Makes headlines.
It does. Well, thank you very much for joining us. For everybody on the show, Chris Landis, Patrick Murphy, My name is Matt Gosher. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Massive Match Day, brought to you by Old North Arcade.